This is the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed, coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA, reaching the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, the Jews, with the good news of their Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord Jesus Christ. Speaking out against anti-Semitism while promoting love for Israel, God's ancient people, the apple of his eye. Believing in what the Holy Scriptures say in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, I will bless them that bless thee. Preaching from God's holy word, the King James Bible, the prophetic truths of the second coming of our Lord, blowing the trumpet in Zion and warning God's people and the nations about the judgment to come, exposing apostasy and the developing one world antichrist system. Stay tuned for this hour with the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast. This is News and Analysis with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. Abu Mazen justifies the armed struggle in an interview in the Al-Sharak Al-Awast newspaper published an article regarding Abu Mazen, the new prime minister of the Palestinian Authority, justified the armed struggle against Jewish communities in the West Bank and Gaza Strip. And so he says, quote, on the basis of the talks held in Cairo between the different Palestinian factions, we agreed upon the freezing of Palestinian military operations, terrorist attacks, for 1 year. I've added the terrorist attacks. This on the condition that the chief Egyptian mediators receive Israeli guarantees about an Israeli military ceasefire, a cessation of arrest of Palestinian terrorists, I add that, and on the withdrawal of the IDF to their positions before September 28, 2000, beginning of the current crisis. We also want a renewal of negotiations. Regrettably, the Hamas movement did not accept these conditions and declared that they did not intend to put an end to its military activities, in other words, terrorist attacks. Abbas, or Abu Mazen, continues to say, we did not say, however, that we are giving up the armed struggle. It is our right to oppose the Intifada. It is our right to oppose, rather. He said the Intifada must continue. I repeat, according to the new prime minister of the Palestinian Authority, of course, by the time you hear this broadcast, he may no longer be there or alive. But anyhow, the fact of the matter is that the prime minister, new prime minister of the Palestinian Authority, Abu Mazen, continues to say, "We did not say, however, that we are giving up the armed struggle." He said, "It is our right to oppose." He said, "The Intifada must continue." He said, "The Palestinian people have a right to oppose using all means at their disposal to protect their existence." He said, "I would add that if the Israelis came and settled themselves on your land," he said, "it would be in your right to defend yourself using any means necessary." Folks, don't be duped by what the news media, for the most part, is trying to bring out to the listening ears of ignorant people, because the reality is the Palestinian Authority and its agenda has always been and always will be the destruction of the State of Israel. And Abu Mazen is simply himself a terrorist. He is a wolf in sheep's clothing. He is an established terrorist of former years and an arch enemy of the well-being of the nation of Israel. Well, people say he's become a moderate over the years and has said that indeed the Intifada is not working. But as I've read to you, the ideology behind all of the resistance is still here today as it was many years ago against the Jewish people. Interestingly, I report to you now that Saudi Arabia has been discovered to be transferring $500 million to, guess who? Al-Qaeda. Yes, a 34-page report which was submitted to the United Nations asserts that the Saudi Arabian funds represent the most important source of financing for Al-Qaeda. The study says Riyadh, pressured by leading officials, had failed to stop the flow of money to Al-Qaeda in wake of the September 11, 2001 suicide attacks on New York and Washington. One must question the real ability and willingness of the kingdom to exercise any control over the use of religious money in and outside of the country, the report said. The report was written by a French investigator at the request of Colombia, which occupies the presidency of the Security Council. Eugene Charles Brassad, the investigator, has long studied the issue of Saudi financing of Islamic insurgency groups. According now reported in the Middle East News line. What baffles my mind, folks, is here we are trying to fight against terrorism, and we are actually spending millions, even billions of dollars, and funneling this money, your taxpaying money, that is, into countries like Saudi Arabia, and like other countries that are actually financing terrorism, either directly or indirectly. And so you might say, or probably ought to say, the United States of America is actually cutting its nose despite its face. It's incredible that we would tolerate this and support this the minute we found out even a hint that they were supporting the Al-Qaeda network. We should have cut off all support to this nation. Well, that's politics for you, and that's why I'm glad that I'm on the side of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the great Jewish Messiah, who's going to come again the second time. First time he came to be the sacrifice for our sins, which because he fulfilled the great prophecies of the Old Testament Tanakh, he now is justified to be able to reign as king upon this earth. And he will one day, and he'll bring in peace and tranquility in this earth for 1,000 years, known as Millennial Kingdom. But until then, folks, all you're going to see is political turmoil and absolute chaos. Well, getting back to the Palestinian question, there is a opinion out there that says there are many Christians in the so-called occupied territories, and they're saying that these Christians are very supportive of their, countrymen, the Palestinians. And I read this with a little bit disgust, because I feel it is totally a sad commentary indeed, if true. Now, the title is Christians Also Battle for Palestine Aside. Now, let me just clarify something. Christians will not and cannot battle for the Palestinian side, because true Christians believe the Bible, and the Bible teaches that the land that is called Palestine does not belong to the Palestinians. The land of Palestine, which rightly is called the land of Israel, rightly belongs to the Jewish people. Now, I have spent literally hours on this broadcast showing you proof positive dogmatically from the Bible that there is no argument against the fact that the land in which the Arabs occupy in Palestine, so-called, do not belong to the Arabs, never did, as far as God was concerned, when he gave this land to the Jewish people. And so the article is titled, Christians Also Battle for Palestinian Side. This is, let me tell you, a total misrepresentation, a total misnomer. These are not Christians. If they are, they are seriously misguided. I would have to say they are terribly misguided. True Christians love the Jews. True Christians love Israel. And true Christians could not stand for this nonsense. The questionnaire's tone is usually, as they are said to be, said by, you mean there are Palestinian Christians? I understand the confusion. As the commentator goes on to say, many view the Palestinian-Israeli conflict as purely Muslims versus Jews, and aren't Arabs all Muslims and Muslims all Arabs? She goes on to say, the reality is that some 15% of the world's Palestinians are Christians. Well, again, the word Christians is very generic. Why, for example, many Jewish people have always believed if you're not a Jew, then you are a Roman Catholic, or you are a Christian, and that is absolutely not true. A true Christian is one who is born again, a Bible believer, who loves the Bible, and loves God, and loves the Jew. So she says that there are 15% of the Palestinian population are made up of Christians, so-called, a vibrant community that has experienced as much suffering as Palestinian Muslims. I would have to agree with her that there are Christians there, and they are being persecuted, but they are not being persecuted by the Israelis so much as they are being persecuted by their own people, the Muslim Palestinians. She goes on to say, though, in the latest uprising for freedom, Palestinian Christians have been among those killed or maimed for life by Israeli bullets. I guarantee you this, that the Israelis have not deliberately targeted Christians. I can assure you that. But she goes on to say in the article, Christians also have been among the Palestinians who have been unable to leave their towns, go to their jobs, seek medical care, and attend schools. Well, yes, that's true, but the truth of the matter is that many Christian, true Christian Palestinians are being persecuted by their own countrymen who are threatening them with violence. I know some in particular. She goes on to say in this commentary, unfortunately, some are exploiting the general lack of knowledge about Palestinian Christians, either for political gain or for religious reasons, or both. She goes on to say, many evangelical Christians believe the Bible promised the Jews the entire Holy Land, including the occupied territory. Y'all want to say a hearty amen to that. And some evangelicals also believe the second coming of Christ is contingent upon the full return of the Jews to Jerusalem. Well, that's not altogether true, depending on your position of the second coming. First of all, the Bible teaches there will be a rapture of the church, the bride of Christ. Those are truly born-again believers make up that bride, by the way. And then it will be a subsequent landing of the Lord Jesus Christ upon this earth after the seven-year tribulation period. By that time, it is true, Israel, all of Israel, would have returned already to the land of milk and honey. But sad to say, according to the book of Revelation and other scriptures in the Tanakh Old Testament, two-thirds of them will be killed in the greatest Holocaust the Jews or the world has ever known. One-third of them will flee to the wilderness called Basra, Mount Seir, Petra, called today as Petra. No doubt this will be the place where they will take refuge. And God will protect them for 3.5 years. And then the Lord Jesus Christ will come there to Petra, Basra, Mount Seir, and he will be seen of these dear Jewish people who will look upon him whom they have pierced, and they will receive him as their Messiah, Lord Jesus, Savior, God. Amen to that. And it will be a wonderful, glorious time. But she goes on to say that she's saying that the conservative Christian activists had spearheaded a letter signed by other evangelical leaders that warned President Bush that it would be morally terrible for the United States to be even-handed between democratic Israel, a reliable friend and ally that shares our values, and the terrorist-infested Palestinian infrastructure. Well, I agree with that letter. I agree with that letter, although I don't agree with the ones who represent evangelicalism. Of course, I am not to be considered that. I am an independent Baptist. I want you to understand there is a marked difference. But I'm not going to take this time of this broadcast to spend time on the difference. Maybe one time I will. But I do want to state the fact that Baptists historically have always stood for the existence of the nation of Israel and have always loved the Jewish people. And by the way, during the Inquisition period, 53 million Baptists were killed by so-called Christians. Yeah, believe it or not, they call themselves Christians, Roman Catholicism, and many Protestant denominations. And that's why we are Baptists, because we do not belong, nor are we a part of any of that. No, not at all. But at any rate, there are some truly born-again Christians among the evangelicals, no doubt. But they are misguided. But at least I can thank God for this. They do follow the reality that God loves the Jew. So, but I continue now to read this commentator's article on the plight of so-called Christian Palestinians. And she says that, she's kind of saying and quoting from Christians who are pro-Israel and such like. And she said that the Jerusalem Post had reported that individual Christian or evangelical leaders said that Bush's proposed roadmap to peace imperiled Israel and went against the clear mandate of the Bible. Now, I agree with that. I agree 1,000%, no question about that. But she says, but the fact that Palestinian Christians are united with Palestinian Muslims in the goal of liberation shows that their struggle isn't so much religious as it is nationalistic and human. Well, if these Christians, so-called, in the Palestinian Authority are totally misguided, what they need to do is seek asylum and join Israel. It's what they need to do. And if you are a Palestinian listening to my voice, then I plead with you to consider that you are being a part of a wicked, wicked government that is going against everything you claim to believe. Why don't you just read the Bible and see that what they are doing is anti-God, anti-Jew, and anti-Christian? She goes on to say, though, I can understand, however, the public relations value for Israelis in ignoring Palestinian Christians. She said, after all, given the unfair vilification of Islam, unfair, she said, after 9/11, why let your Western supporters know that you are also battling Christians? She said, the evangelical leaders who warned Bush not to be even-handed in peace negotiations may believe that they are speeding up Jesus' return, but it was Christ who said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Which is it? Well, may you understand that this commentator is herself a Palestinian-American Christian who lives in Michigan. And if that's not an oxymoron, Palestinian-American Christian. Three contradictory terms, I can assure you that. But at any rate, I'm not going to spend time to get into that. But I am going to say that this lady surely means well. And her name is Sherry Musher. And she means well. This was reported USA Today. And but she also is misguided. Misguided because, yes, the news media has made this whole thing into a nationalistic issue. Let me say, and let me repeat it again, and I will repeat it by the grace of God again and again and again. The whole problem between the so-called Palestinians and the Jewish people in Israel has nothing to do with nationalism. It has everything to do with God's promise to the Jewish people. God has promised the Arabs their own land. But as long as they fight against God's promise program for the Jewish people, the Arabs will never enjoy the land that God really promised for them. Well, this indeed is a sad, sad development, a sad, sad commentary. But that's what the news media tries to do, paint an erroneous picture of the facts. What's so amazing is much of the bias is coming out of places like England. And this broadcast goes to England and has gone throughout the world. And I do not mean to be harsh or unkind to the British. But I will have to say, they must watch out. They do not want to be guilty of repeating the same tragic mistake that they did when they sealed up the immigration of Jewish people from Europe into what was called at that time Palestine. And as a result of that, 6 million Jews were killed in Nazi Germany. Now, but we see the same anti-Semitic fever and the same anti-Semitic overtones being reported in the British media, particularly now the BBC. I've said that many times, but I will show you now, according to an article in Jerusalem Report, or Jerusalem Post rather, bias BBC. The Board of Deputies of British Jews has formally complained to the BBC about the profile of Israel that appears on the BBC website. The complaint lodged some time ago here noted that while profiles of other countries provide factual information, Israel's profile is partial, inaccurate, and entirely misleading. The board asserted that the website implies that Israel is solely to blame for the failure to reach a peace settlement. There is a complete omission of the main stumbling blocks to peace: continued terrorist attacks against Israeli citizens and the failure of most of the Arab world to recognize Israel's right to exist. Other countries, it noted, are afforded a capital, but the profile of Israel refers only to its seat of government. The board also complained that references to Prime Minister Ariel Sharon focus on his wealth and housing purchases. He is also accused of triggering the second wave of Palestinian violence by visiting the Temple Mount, despite the admissions by Palestinian officials that the Intifada was planned in advance of Sharon's visit. At the same time, the board noted the profile Palestinian Authority Chairman Yasser Arafat portrays him as a courageous and popular leader, with no mention of the terrorist atrocities carried out by the PLO and his regular calls in Arabic for the annihilation of Israel. It is unclear why Israel's profile should be presented in so tenacious and unbalanced a manner, whereas other country profiles are objective and balanced, said Board Director General Navili Niglar. There are many points which are highly inappropriate in the BBC's presentation, he declared, adding, it is unacceptable for the BBC to display such a bias which falls foul of their own guidelines of impartiality. The complaint followed the publication of a new anti-Semitism by the Institute for Jewish Policy Research, a European Jewish think tank. One chapter in the book, Hatred in the Air, focuses on the BBC's coverage of Israel. Now, if you think one of the most powerful media outlets in the world, news media outlets in the world, is going to stand by and tolerate these facts against them, you can be sure that they will not. For example, I just seen a report that the BBC chief is blasting the United States media for the unpardonable sin of the patriotic war coverage. I mean, this is unbelievable. Listen, folks. This is unbelievable. Listen, the head of the British Broadcasting Corporation said that American TV networks failed to be impartial in their coverage of the war. Greg Dyke singled out Fox News for its gung-ho patriotism. Well, may I ask you, Mr. Dyke, what in the world do you think Americans are to do? Americans are to be patriotic. And you, BBC, ought to be patriotic for Britain having a great role in the war against Iraq. But no, the BBC has to attack America. He said that the American broadcast media has undermined its credibility with unquestioning support of the war. Dyke said he believed that many American broadcasters wanted to avoid appearing unpatriotic, particularly in the aftermath of the 9/11 terrorist attacks. A Fox spokesman declined to comment on his remarks. And I would decline too, because it's a waste of time, but for the sake of truth, I am reading this article from the USA Today. And it's preposterous, unbelievably, incredibly absurd that they expect the United States media to not be patriotic. Not only are they patriotic, in this case, I will have to commend them, the news media in the United States, for being patriotic and reporting the news as it was supposed to be reported. Many, if not most, of the embedded reporters and journalists who took coverage of what was going on in the war of Iraq did report the facts. And as long as they stay by the facts, they will not get in trouble and they will not be guilty of misrepresentation. But see, when they reported the facts, it didn't make those who do not like the war, and those who do not like the Jews, and those who do not like the reason for the war, it does not make them very happy. And so again, you see the forces of hell vying against the righteousness of God Almighty. Well, I'm so glad that you have taken your precious time to listen to these news and commentary. And I want to invite you to stay with us now and buckle your seatbelt, because we got some good broadcasting, some more good broadcasting, I would have to say, thanks be to God, coming your way. Now, news and documentation courtesy of Zion News International. You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast, coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA. Now, we invite you to continue to stay with us for another 30 minutes of good broadcasting regarding the Jews and the issues pertaining to the nation of Israel and what the Bible has to say about it. If you're interested in this, we know you'll not be disappointed. If you have a love for the Jewish people, or if you even have questions about their existence, oh my, you need to stay tuned and find out what the Bible says about it. But if you must leave, we sure like you to come back next time. But until then, would you please write us and let us know that you've enjoyed this broadcast, or if you have any questions at all, we'll do our very best to answer you. Now, please write us at the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, PowderSprings, Georgia, or GA, 30127 USA. If you're interested in helping keep this program on the air, please send any gifts to this address, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127 USA. We're also accepting King James Bibles in good condition. This helps us to distribute these Bibles throughout the world. There are thousands, tens of thousands of people that are begging us for Bibles throughout the world. And we do our best to send them Bibles, but they're very expensive. So if you would do what you can to help us keep our supply going, we would be very thankful to you. Now, please continue to stay tuned now to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast. Invite your family, your friends, your business associates, anybody that has an interest in the Jewish question as to whether they should exist or not. Now, the Bible has a lot to answer to that, but if you have a love for the Jew, you know what the answer is already. Yes, indeed. They are God's chosen people, the apple of His eye.
Showeth mercy unto thy servants that walk before.
This is Dr. K. Daniel Fried. I'm so glad that you stood, that you're staying with us for the last half of this broadcast. And I just want to thank you personally from the bottom of my heart for those who are faithfully listening to the broadcast from week to week. And without your help, this broadcast would not be possible. And, of course, we are thankful for the many believers, Bible believers around the world who help us in the broadcast, both in prayer power and financially. But most of the finances that support this broadcast comes from our own resources, and which makes it very difficult to keep up, obviously, with all the expenses involved in broadcasting. So therefore, I'm not going to beg and try to coax you into giving to us. I'm not going to try to bribe you with a special gift in order to donate to us. But I'm simply going to let you know we definitely have needs to keep this broadcast on the air. And if this broadcast has been a help to you and a blessing and it's encouraged you in some way, this is a worthy, worthy ministry, a worthy broadcast in these last days that's heralding the Word of God and heralding the truth about what's going on and what the Bible has to say about it. So I'm not going to say any more. If God has touched your heart, please do what you can and write us a letter and tell us about the impact of this broadcast and help us if you would. It would be much appreciated. Okay, now I need to continue. I feel led of God to extend the news portion of the broadcast to the last half because there is so much going on. And I believe you need to hear this information. Now, what I read and what I commentate on is mostly being ignored. And this is why it's so important for Bible believers to listen to what's going on and so they're not ignorant. Also, I demonstrate all this information because I want the Jewish people who listen to the broadcast to know that we as Bible-believing Christians, as specifically Independent Baptists, love the Jewish people, love Israel, believe that they have the right to exist and the mandate from God to continue to live there. And we are for you. We are your friends. We are your supporters. And yes, we do support you. And we want you to know we back you up. And so I do this for that reason as well. And of course, there's always some of these highfalutin critics out there say, well, the reason why you're doing all that is because you're trying to convert the Jews. Well, I'm not going to lie to you. This whole broadcast is designed to show the Jewish people we really do love them, but also to show that there is an interest in wooing them back to the Holy Scriptures of their forefathers and help them to consider and reconsider the claims of the Messiahship of the Lord Jesus Christ. So please, do not think I am deceiving or misleading anybody. I admit to what I am doing. I am doing exactly what needs to be done. I am giving you the other side of the story that many Jewish people are blinded of because of the leaders of today are blinding the Jewish people of the truth. If you want to know the truth, you don't need to go to the rabbis. You need to go to the Holy Scriptures. They were inspired of God. The prophets were given the Holy Scriptures by inspiration of God, and those are the ones you can trust without any doubt or reservation. Rabbis, good, well-meaning rabbis, have disagreed with each other for thousands of years. So the only one you can really trust is what the Bible says. Go to the Bible and go to the Old Testament Tanakh and go to the New Covenant, Berit Chadashah, the New Testament. You say, well, that's a Gentile book. No, it's not. It is a Jewish book, in fact, given by God through Jewish prophets and apostles. And it is a fulfillment that was prophesied by the Jewish prophet Jeremiah that the new covenant, Jeremiah chapter 31, look it up yourself, chapter 31, look it up, starting there in verse 31, that it was a prophecy that the new covenant would come. I'm here to tell you with gladness in my heart, it is here and has been for 2,000 years. The new covenant, that is. What does the new covenant say in the Old Testament Tanakh? What does it say? If you're a Jewish person, you must hear what it says. This is the scriptures that the rabbis, the leaders of Judaism today, refuse to tell you about. But it says in Jeremiah chapter 31, behold, verse 31, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. So you see, this new covenant is to fulfill and replace the old covenant, because the old covenant was broken by God's people. But the new covenant is to come. According to this passage, verse 33, but this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts, and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Folks, this could be none other than the New Testament as it is known today. The New Testament is the New Covenant. It is fulfilled, this great prophecy of the prophet Jeremiah back in the Old Testament Tanakh. I petition you, if you're a dear Jewish person, please consider what the Old Testament prophets said about the Messiah and the New Covenant. We have the New Covenant today, and we've had it for 2,000 years, because the one who gave us the New Covenant was the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you need to read it for yourself, by the way. Read it for yourself, and you'll see that what I'm showing you and what I'm telling you is the truth. It is absolutely the truth. Now, getting back to the fact that the Bible is the truth, we will now go to this incredible article by Eye on the Media. Andrea Levine reported here in Jerusalem Post, titled Remedial Map Reading for the New York Times. The New York Times has trouble reporting the facts straight about the Middle East documents, repeatedly distorting their terms and shifting responsibility and fault to Israel. Recent misinformation about the roadmap by correspondent Stephen Wiseman is fuel for critics who see the paper increasingly marshaling its news pages to advance an editorial agenda. Wiseman and the Times are particularly reading impaired when the document includes reference to Jewish settlements. During a front page story above the fold stated in flat contradiction to the written terms of the Roadmap Peace Initiative that with regard to Jewish settlements in the West Bank and Gaza, the peace plan calls for this for their dismantling. The roadmap does no such thing. It addresses this large issue in broad terms, leaving the resolution to final status negotiation, and it uses the word dismantle only with respect to certain satellite outposts recently built. Specifically, in phase one, the document calls for a settlement freeze and the dismantling of the outposts erected since March 2001. In phase two, the document refers to further action on settlements in conjunction with creation of a Palestinian state with provisional borders. The last reference in phase three is to a final permanent status resolution, considering issues such as borders, Jerusalem, refugees, and settlements. Challenge to correct the false settlement dismantling assertion. The Times instead dissembled, according to this article, Weissman writes, quote, the peace plan calls implicitly for settlements to be dismantled as part of a final settlement, its drafters say, unquote. Which drafters? Weissman neglects to name those who see Israel as having implicitly forfeited ahead of time its rights of negotiation on major issue. Moreover, although the roadmap similarly leaves resolution of the issue of refugees to permanent status discussions, the Times has not reported that it is implicitly understood there is no so-called right of return for Palestinians to pre-1948 Israel, nor has it presented such a view as fact, as it has its interpretation of the settlement matter. A Weissman story had filled with half a dozen unnamed sources, quote, an informed diplomat, unquote, here and, quote, an administration official, unquote, and, quote, knowledgeable, unquote, source there, is indicative of the partisanship underlying the reporter's coverage. He defines the roadmap as a phased timetable to create a Palestinian state. That is, indeed, the Palestinians' primary aim, but Israel does have goals as well. Though disregarded here by the Times, they are actually written into the roadmap. Israel's overriding concern is that the initiative entails a final end to terrorist violence and acceptance of Israel's legitimacy. So this article that was brought had brought another Weissman story with anonymous sources, this time citing unnamed administration officials, as well as many in Washington, quote-unquote, all nameless, critical of the Sharon government. In addition, a correction ran underscoring the paper's refusal to simply report the facts. It read, quote, a front-page story about Secretary of State Colin Powell, his talks in Jerusalem, and the Bush administration's efforts to bring peace to the Middle East referred imprecisely to the peace plan drawn up by the United States, the United Nations, European Union, Russia. The plan, known to diplomats, as the roadmap, is understood by its authors and by Israel and the Palestinians to entail the eventual dismantling of Jewish settlements in the West Bank and Gaza, but that understanding is not stated explicitly. While a number of major national newspapers had also reported erroneously on the terms of the roadmap with regard to settlements and had issued corrections, each had simply stated the terms of the roadmap. Only the New York Times inserted its interpretation, claiming that all the parties, including Israel, understand the document as requiring, prior to or without negotiations, the dismantling of settlements. It offered no evidence whatsoever for this assertion. All this insistent misrepresentation of reality is not new. It recalls former Jerusalem Bureau Chief Serge Skirman's remarkable 1998 rewriting of Israeli-Palestinian agreements related to Hebron. Then the Times reporter first erred in claiming Israel was imposing new conditions on the Palestinians, charging Israel with, in effect, lying about the stipulations of a written agreement. Later in a correction, the paper falsely maintained Israel was injecting new specific demands. It seems despite the shadow of Jason Blair and public unease about the newspaper of record, when it comes to reporting on the Arab-Israeli conflict, political agenda still trumps journalistic propriety at the New York Times. Here again, folks, you see evidence that you cannot trust the media. And I believe it's the judgment of God on the New York Times that they have uncovered that their reporters have lied. Well, that's not surprising to me. We've known that a long time ago by most of the news media, secular news media. Oh, there might be one or two or three or four who try to report the news as accurately as possible. But you see, your sin will find you out. And that's exactly what's happening today. I'm just thankful to God that finally people are starting to realize that the news media, much of the news media, has their own political bent and their own agenda. In other words, what's the difference between what they're doing and communism? Yes, communism forced their journalists to say exactly what they wanted them to say, and it seems to appear to me that the new secular news media in the United States of America has its own liberal agenda. To me, it's no different than communism. All we want, folks, is the facts. Just give me the facts, will you? Well, that's what we're doing here on this broadcast. I'm so grateful that you've taken your time to listen. I hope it's been a blessing to you. Now, just stay with us for a few more moments, and you'll get some information that will be helpful to you.
Keep His covenant and show with mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all of their hearts. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven. There is no God like thee in the earth. O Lord God of
If after hearing this broadcast, God Almighty has convicted your heart of sin, then repent. That is, be willing to confess and forsake your sinfulness and wicked way, while acknowledging your transgressions against the Holy God. With sorrow and a broken heart for being an unworthy sinner, deserving eternal judgment in hell fire. Receive Christ, the Messiah's forgiveness, which was bought for you by His own blood, and call upon Him to be your only Lord, God, and Savior. If you've asked by faith, believing, then God has given you eternal life according to His Word. And now you should know for sure that your sins are forgiven and that you are gloriously saved and born again. Please write us and let us know of the good news about your salvation. Let us know if you are Jewish or from some other ethnic group. You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. The Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast is supported by free will offerings. If you would like to help keep this program on the air, please send your free will donation to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. The Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast is responsible for sending out thousands of Bibles and biblical literature free of charge throughout the world. If you are a Jewish person and would like to receive a free Hebrew-English New Covenant, also known as the New Testament, please request a copy. Other languages may also be available. We will also send you a free copy of our very popular booklet, Prophecy Unveiled. Again, if you are Jewish, please be encouraged to ask for this terrific booklet. This booklet is about Jewish prophecy. It has intrigued readers for thousands of years and is now at your fingertips. What do rabbis of old, historians and religious commentators have to say about the subject. See for yourself and answer the age-old question, is prophecy unveiled? If you're not Jewish and desire to receive a Bible in English, please write to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. That's Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, or P-O-W-D-E-R-S-P-R-I-N-G-S, Georgia, or G-A, 30127, USA. You are invited to visit our website at hopeofisrael.net. Again, our website address is hopeofisrael.net, or hopeofisrael.net. Please email or write us letting us know you're listening to our broadcast. This will be a great encouragement to us and will help us to know where the broadcast is being received around the world. Donations and King James Bibles are being accepted, enabling us to distribute Bibles and gospel literature worldwide. Please send only King James Bibles in good condition. This is Dr. K. Daniel Freed, wishing you God's richest blessings upon your life. And my earnest prayer is that you will be drawn closer to the Savior. Please remember to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Until our next broadcast, tune in again on this day at this same time for the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast.